There's times in our life that God gives us special blessings, and this is one of them. I love coming here. That's why there's an opportunity for other men to come here. I hog you. I wish in my prayer, let me pray right now. Just pray this. Father in heaven, I hope and pray that every church would be as Cross Point, that they see your vision, they see your purpose, and that is to bring the lost to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Help all groups, all ecclesia, all called out, all churches have that vision and have that warmthness and a sweet smelling aroma that I receive every time I come here. Dear Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for their hearts. Thank you for Holy Spirit living within them. Thank you for believing that the Word is the way. And Jesus, you were the Word before you came to this earth. And you gave us the Word after you left. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Men are so evil to other men. They're worse than animals. On this box right here, this is the box that I received from Peru. And when I went to Peru, we had all the missionaries that came there, and they were from six different continents. But we met 179 other missionaries that were already established there, that had their homes there, that knew the customs, that knew the schools. They knew the ways to get in and out and getting the most precious thing we'll ever hold in our life, and that is a copy of God's Word. One of the men that was there was our leader. His name, and he's right there, he's signed right there, Larry Williamson. He's from Mississippi. We had all over the United States and, like I said, six different continents with the other countries. Let me share with you how our Lord and our Savior kept Larry Williamson alive as he was stoned in Nigeria. He has been assigned not just Peru, not just the Philippines, but 25 countries in Africa. That is the most dangerous area in the world today to hand out copies of God's Word. We're always told as we go on these international scripture blitz, don't go off by yourself. But he, like me, sometimes, we'll be all right. No. He went off by himself, got a taxi, and a lot of times there's no cars there. We have to get taxis. We are your missionaries. We're an extension of your church. We pay our own way. We're professional and businessmen and our wives. My wife can't be here. She's grandma on today. She was here last time. But we do. We count it as a privilege to be able to pay our own way. And you furnish this. You furnish the Word that doesn't come back empty or void, does it? It accomplished what God wants it to and prospers in the thing where God sent it. But he did. He went off by himself. He was late, a little late. And so he got a taxi, and he went to this school. It was a Muslim school where Islam, the religion of Islam, is taught. And he said it was fine at first. He was there by himself. And I'm so glad he wasn't really by himself, because who is always with us?
God.
God is. Amen. But he was handing out scriptures like this. He was handing out scriptures, and usually they're blue. Like this. It has the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. It has the New Covenant, the new agreement that God made with us. And he was doing fine. In fact, as the middle school kids come up and came out, he was handing copies to them. He was having a conversation with them. And that's from fifth grade up to eighth grade, a little bit different than here. And he said he was talking with them. They were kind of joking. They were having fun. Then all of a sudden, he said, it felt like someone punched him in the back. And he kind of went like this. And then again, he said something hit him right here in the chest. And then he realized he was having an avalanche of stones on him. The high school kids had come out, and they started throwing stones at him. They wanted to kill him. That is so sad. So sad, because you have to be taught that in the Quran if you read it. That is taught. But also in the Quran, it's also taught to read the gospel. If you have an opportunity and you see someone that believes in the Islam religion, believes in Muhammad, ask them if they have read the gospel. When we go to Kent State, we go to the University of Akron, we ask them that over and over and over. And the ladies, sometimes all you can see is their eyes because they're completely covered. And they want copies. But the men will come up to them and they'll grab them by the shoulder if they see the ladies receive it and they say, give it back. Even here in the United States. So notice, please remember, God is a forgiving God. He's changing hearts. These high school kids that tried to kill Larry Williamson, but God protected him, can be and are being forgiven, and they're coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus. I've got proof of that. He said he had to try to run, but he couldn't. The nearest he could go was, brother, I know you. You're from, you're a golfer. Yeah, I know this young man. I know this young man. And God is so neat. You know, he gives us special presents. This young man's a special present right there. It's because of my age, I can't remember your name, but Tom, good to see you again. I just saw Todd last night. Yeah. But he had a ditch right about where Tom was sitting. He got down in this ditch and he said, you know, the sky was blue just like it was here today. And he's kind of glancing up and he's trying to cover his head and all of a sudden he said, things were coming black. He was dying. But here comes this little guy, this little middle school guy. He's about this big around. And he picked him up by his belt and he said one word to him. He said, run. And he said, I did. He tried to run because he was running for his life so fast that he ruptured both his tendons, Achilles tendons. Before he recovered from this stoning, his ankles were twice as big around. But here's what saved him, not his running because they were still throwing stones at him. Guess who protected him? The middle school students. They started firing stones and firing rocks at him, and that's the only way he got back to the cab. And he returned to safety. God is intervening today. If you remember anything today, remember this. Barna Group Survey is one of the most reliable, if not the most reliable survey groups in the world. It's a Christian survey group. Barna Group Survey said this. Every week, this is just week, 7 days, every week, there are on the average 116,000 Islam-believing, Muhammad-believing, returning to Christ or coming to Christ. Three out of every four years. And that's why it's so important that we get this great news out that Jesus saves, are walking away from Islam because there's no hope there. The hope that Jesus talks about, the hope that our Lord talks about, is an assurity. If you don't have Jesus, if you don't have our Lord and Savior, if you don't have the way, the truth, and the life, you have no assurity. But they're understanding that. It's like magic, because Jesus is like magic. His word will not come back empty or void. It's going to accomplish what he pleases and prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. Larry Williamson has to watch out. He said he went through many of the countries in Nigeria, and I'm afraid to tell this with this little girl here, but she's old enough to know what's happening. They are going, we're talking about ISIS, the Taliban, they're going through different villages. And if they determine you're a Christian, they take red paint and they put that on your hut, a big C for Christian. And then they look you in the eye and they say, we're coming back. And they are not denouncing Christ. They would save their lives, they would save their children's life. Then they come back, they take the whole family out in the middle of the town. And what they do is they take the kids and kill the kids and dismember them in front of the parents. But yet they're standing strong. The thing we want them to do is have the word. One out of every three. In India alone, there are 100 million requests. 100 million requests for God's word every year. In Nigeria and all the other African countries, the request is there. Keep sharing the way you're sharing. We have such little persecution here. We want to continue to be your witnesses, continue to be your missionaries. the door of communist China. We thought that would never open for the Lord's Gideon ministry. And it's his ministry, it's not ours, in our partnership. We have the greatest partnership on the face of the earth today. And that's the partnership between you, the church, the ecclesia, and the called out. We are just simply your missionaries, and we travel, and we go here, Wadsworth, Chippewa Lake area, Akron U, Kent State, and hand out God's word. We went. We have international scripture blitz right here. We had one in Cleveland just a couple months ago. Let me tell you about a mother there, just the way God works. God takes terrible things and turns them into good. You know what Larry Williams is doing now? He's traveling out the United States telling how strong and how faithful our God is and how his word needs to be given out. At Normandy High School, this was just a few weeks ago, I was handing out scriptures, and a mom came up to me. And the mom said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "We're asking kids if they want a copy." And that's what we do. We ask them, "May I please give you a copy? Do you want a copy of God's word?" She said, "You have no right to do that." She said, "You cannot force religion on any of these kids." And right there beside me were two high school kids. They're standing and they're listening to this. And so I said, "You know, we do have the right, and you know, the Constitution." That's all I said. And I turned and walked away. She said, "Well, I'm calling the police." And I said, "That'd be a good idea. That'd be a good idea." Because you know what the police do now in the United States? Thank you, Jesus, for your protection. That's the first always in love, is protection. The police came back to him, and I was kind of listening because she was standing there a long time. And the kids wouldn't leave. And they said, "Yeah, I'll take one. They wanted to know, what's so important about this, you know, that you don't want it to be handed out. Isn't that neat? And the policeman said, "They have every right to be here. Every right to be here. You are the..." I copied off you guys. Do you know that? See right on the shelf back there? Please don't leave without taking one of those life books. That's supposed to be for kids. But each and every one of us, we have a child within us. And he tells us, suffer little children to come unto us, for such is the kingdom of God. And I don't think he's just talking about the young. I think he's talking about the child within. Take that and ask your neighbor, ask your friend, ask your enemy. Please read this. The book of John has little footnotes in it. And God's word won't come back empty or void. But the police did come and he told her, you know, "Hey, they have every right in the world." And then as I was leaving, I was driving away. You know what those two guys, those two high school boys were doing? They were standing in their front yard because I think they wanted that lady to see them. They're standing in their front yard and they had God's word open and they're reading it together and they're looking. They're looking. You know what? He doesn't take anything terrible and have it wasted. Everything he does is for a purpose. And your purpose, my purpose is the same. And that's to bring the lost to saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Went to a funeral just this last week, and the guy that brought me to Jesus, and the only reason there's two reasons I started going to church. The one was so I could be with my wife. That's the only way he's allowed to see her, so I went to church to be with my wife. She's a sweetie. I love her. And the other reason is a young man, and this wasn't the cool thing to do. He said, "Hey, come to church with me. You can play basketball." They had what they called a brigade. But the evil ones kind of worked on his heart over the last few decades. And he's kind of walked away from the Lord. But his older brother just died this last Friday. And at the funeral, he had to speak. And you know what he did? The Lord, just like the prodigal son, the Lord is waiting there for him to come home. He came home. He came back. Tom Mosier. And he said a prayer. I thought, wow, that is neat. Let me share with you. I'm going to give some copies here. I've got 8 of these. I'm going to hand out 7 so I can look at one of them. And also, I've got copies right back there on the bulletin board, but I've got some sitting there. Take these with you. Do not let these stay here. Share these with your friends and neighbors. Behind every picture, because God wants us to have a vision. And you can just look at that and hand it around. And the vision is the purpose that he has for each and every one of us here. But hear what this fifth grade teacher said. I'll kind of walk around here if you can't see on yours. The fifth grade teacher, this is in the Philippines. She said, as these students received their copy, and they have no books. in the Philippines, they try to live on $2 or less a day. So they have no books in their home. This is the only book they'll have. She said, this is the most precious thing you'll ever hold in your life. Please read it. And in the Philippines and in Peru, and we go to other nations, we ask them to please make this promise. We ask them to hold up their little Bible. We call it the little Bible, and repeat after me. And we have the interpreter, and they say, I promise. And they yell out, I promise. I will read. I will read. My Bible, every day. And what happens if they do? Wow, something's going to change on good and honest and fertile hearts. We went to a village that had a school, and within this school, and they have no windows there because it's so very warm, they don't need windows. But we asked the teacher, do you have a little Bible? And here's what she pulled out. This is the most worn, torn. It was dated 1985 when she received her education, her teaching degree in the United States, some school in California. And she said, yes, this is the Bible we have for the school. That's the only one they had. She pulled out of her book bag, and she started crying. She said, can I buy some scriptures from you? And we messed with her. We said, no, but we can give them to you. And because of your sharing, you know what you've done the last 2 years? No church in Medina County has done as well or sacrificed as well as you. You gave 983 I count every one of them. 983 perfect missionaries. And that because that's what this is. That's what this is. We need to work together. There should be missionaries that are establishing churches. That's so important. So people, souls can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It all goes together. But also they need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. They need to know about Jesus. And so many of them will never ever hear a preacher like Randy. I'm going to stop there just for a minute. Chuck, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to read this to you. This is how fortunate you are. Some people you love talking to on the phone, many pastors, I'm going to tell you, many ministers, they don't return calls. Randy does. He does. And he sounds like Harvey on the phone. He does. You are so blessed here. But because of him, because of you, this is praying for you card. I'll give it to Randy, but it's also for all of you. It says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Number 6. It says, in honor of distributed by the members of the Gideon's International to help transform lives through the word of God. And number tremendous servant heart and teaching and preaching the great news that Jesus saves. Keeping you close in thought and prayer, Randy and Diane Hall and the Lord's Gideons and Auxiliary in his Wadsworth camp. So would you give that to him?
Sure.
Okay, thank you, brother. Now I forget where we're. No, we're right here. We're right here. And so she started crying. And she said, I'll buy them. We said, no, we've got them for you. And because of you, we were allowed to go to the classrooms. And the kids were doing that. They couldn't sit in their seats. They're up. They're jumping up and down. They're holding their face and they're smiling. They're going to the window. The teacher's saying, sit down, sit down. You'll get your copy. That was so neat to see kids so excited. And that's the heart we want to have. Everybody has a child within them. Here's a happy, sad picture. It was late. We got up at 5 o'clock, had prayer at 5:30, and then we had breakfast, then we went out. And it was late in the late afternoon. We were coming back, and there was a police station. We were in Cagayan de Oro. That's the southernmost, largest island in the Philippines, and that's the capital city, and we went all around there. But we weren't allowed to go to the southern part of that island. Why? It was dangerous. Tell Larry Williams that. When you hear the word danger, you don't go. So we stopped, and there was two men there. There's the chief of police, and there's a policeman. And they both gave their life, because not because of anything we said, but because we read the inside back cover with them. Read the inside back cover. There's a way to accept Jesus through the Word. Just read. Just read. Just read. And they did and accepted. And then this big, strong chief of police started crying. And he said, oh, I wish you would have been here last week because two of my officers were shot. You see, the Philippines has more guns per capita than any nation in the world. It's dangerous there. But because of your missionaries that are already there, not us, not the United States, but the missionaries that are already established through the Lord's Gideon ministry, they went back weekly, had weekly Bible studies, just like we do in Indian River. That's a prison for young men. We're doing that now. We go on Monday nights and we take turns. Tough audience sometimes. But many of them are hearing God's word and listening to God's word, and they are changing their lives. They're becoming new creations, new creatures. But they went back week after week after week, and they had Bible studies with these men there. God's word will not come back empty or void. This picture here, who has the biggest smile? The one that had a star. My son made me do that. He said, put a star on around her head there. She said this. She said, there's no way God can forgive me. I am one of the most sinful persons on the face of God's earth. But we read to her how the sin that you have, the sin that we have, can be forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Does that ever meet? The east and west ever meet? No. The deepest part of the ocean, supposedly was just found a few months ago outside of China. It's 7 miles down. Can you get down there to get that sin? No. He buries it so it never, ever, ever comes back. And she believed that. And she made a profession of faith. In fact, in Peru, there were 4,266 professions of faith. We don't know their hearts, but we want them to say, confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord and Savior and repent of their sins and start a new life. But she has the biggest smile. This one's kind of funny, but it was a little spooky. These kids was a herd. I'll call them a herd of kids. Would not get back to class. We said, we're coming to the classroom in middle school. And I worked with middle school kids for 35 years. So I know they're anywhere from 7 years old to 37 years old as far as listening and reacting and being cordial. They wouldn't go back to class. We said, well, if you go back to class, we're going to get to your classroom and give you a copy. And that's not always true. That was I later found out I was too young in the ministry to know that one out of every three that are waiting there for a copy won't get one because of lack of workers or lack of funds. We need young men that know Christ, that have a vision. They don't like to listen to these old gray-haired guys with the grinders wearing out and the snow in the attic and the windows growing dim. They want to hear young guys. They want to hear young guys. And they do. They listen to you better. But we said, okay, we're going to line you up. I said, we. That was my idea. And my interpreter there, and I told you this last time I was here, her name was America. Isn't that funny? The interpreter there, her name was America. So she told him in Spanish, go ahead and line up. This is the line after 2.7 seconds. That's the line. And I had a box like this. And they knocked the box out of my hand. And this little guy right down there, you can only see his eyes. He dove on that box. There's 13 copies in there. America had a box that was full. They got that one too. I got another picture. If you look through there. And I could hear him. There's a pile of students this high. Why? He wanted to make sure he got his copy. He's at the bottom of the pile and he's yelling and screaming. I said to America later on, I said, what was he saying? She's saying, get him off, get him off. I can't breathe. So we did, as gently but as quickly as we could, Lyle, we started pulling them by their arms and by their legs, and we got to this little guy, and he was curled up in a fetal position, and he took a deep breath, but he had the biggest smile on his face, not because of the breath that keeps us alive. I think he was smiling, and I believe this every part of my, because he was holding the most precious gift he'll ever hold in his life. God's word doesn't come back empty, doesn't come back void. This is just Peter's suit. This seems like it was staged, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like it was staged? Everywhere you go in the world, the hunger and the thirst for God's word doesn't end. Peter Sue was from Thailand, and they were afraid they weren't going to get copies, and they're attacking him, not in a bad way. Let me close with two more true stories. I'm going to wait to turn that over. I did not realize, and I want you to try this. When we were at Indian River last Monday night, there were some boys there, and we just simply read some scriptures. And because of God's power and His Word, they changed their lives. I tried for decades to share with my mom that Jesus is our Savior, Jesus is our Lord, Jesus is the only hope we have. She would always answer me the same way. She'd say, I don't like to talk about that. I don't like to think about that. But being kind of silly, I kept trying to say what I thought she should hear. So what do middle school kids do that? You ever do that? You're teaching them and they're going like this. What's that? It's for loser. Yeah, it's for loser. I finally, after talking for over 25 years, trying to say what I thought she should hear, I finally got down on my knees and I said, Lord, what would you have me do? And He said, just read to her. Because each and every time, she'd always say the same thing. You see, my mom had a very calloused, hurting heart. And this calloused heart came about because her dad committed, when she was 19 years old and still at home, her dad committed suicide on the front porch, shot himself at 3 o'clock in the morning. Nine of the kids, seven of them are still there. 2 years later, on Christmas Eve, two of her brothers went out and they were drinking and carousing and they got caught in a snowstorm in West Virginia. And they thought, well, we'll just stay here till the morning. Our car got stuck. We'll just stay here till the morning. But they backed their car into a snowbank and they both died of carbon monoxide poisoning. One of them had two small children, one of them had one. Then our brother, and the world beats you all up. I can tell by your eyes, everybody has a story. This isn't just my mom. This isn't me. Everyone here gets beat up by the world. My brother, her son, died of AIDS when he was 24 years old. So each and every time I try to talk to her about the Lord, she didn't want to hear about that. She didn't want to have that part of her heart, that part of her being touched where it hurt. But come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon thee and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That's the first change she had. I got that card from a couple just about your age. They gave it to me. I was out shopping with my wife, and I hate to shop, so I was sitting outside the shopping center, and they came up and gave me that card. And I gave it to my mom, and I didn't say anything. You know what she did? To say that, it takes about 12 seconds to say that. She looked at that 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. God's word was starting. She wanted some rest. If you have seven kids and you got one of them who gets the most wax in middle school growing, you need some rest. But finally, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, what would you have me say? What would you have me do? See, she had contracted cancer and she had about 2 months to live. And He said, just read to her. She was in Oklahoma City, had been back and forth visiting. So I just called her up and I started reading to her. And I read John 3:16. For God, and I read it slow. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. First time in my life, she didn't stop me. She didn't stop me. You know what she said? She said, I believe that. Oh, no. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then I read in Romans 3:23, where all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, because I was the worst of the worst. I thought it was neat to get in trouble. And I said, I'm sorry for the son I wasn't. She said, I'm sorry for the mom I wasn't. We're both crying together on the phone. Then we read the most precious words of all times, and it's right here. It's right here in this book. A summary right back here. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we called on the name of the Lord according to Romans 10:13. I believe because of Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he became flesh and dwelt among us. And I believe that he was the Word. And before he left us the Word. And I believe because of the Word, because of Jesus, I'll see my mom again. Because I finally got out of the way. Finally got out of the way. And that's what I want to ask you, showing this last picture. I could not find a picture until just within the last few months. What's a lost soul look like? What's a lost soul look like? I hate this picture, but yet I think that's the lost soul. And in this picture, there's a vulture standing behind. This is in Sudan. In 1994, Kevin Carter won the Pulitzer Prize for the best picture. And this young boy, this very young boy, is dying. He has to get to help. He has to get to food from the United Nations that's 1 kilometer away. And here they are, they're just taking pictures. He left. His buddy said, come on, we got to go. So he said, we left. He said, no one knew if this little boy made it to stay alive, made it to the United Nations food support system to stay alive. 3 months later, this Pulitzer Prize winner, Kevin Carter, who, because of depression, committed suicide. This is a lost soul. I'm asking you. And community churches do this better than any. We don't pass around a plate. You know, it's back there. We've got bulletins inside the bulletins. Later on, if the Lord puts upon your heart to share, that's great. Know this, that we will be your missionaries, and we'll make sure that lost souls like this little boy who's starving, there's a whole nation, there's a whole world out there hungering and thirsting people, hungering and thirsting souls. Please just keep doing what you've been doing. And you will make an eternal difference. And because of you, someday, someone's going to come up to you after you die. And we're all going to die if Jesus doesn't come soon, right? Me before, about all of you probably. And someone's going to come up and they're going to hug you around the neck. And they're going to say, on July 16th, 2017, I was living on the other side of the world, and I didn't know about Jesus. But because you gave $1.25, I received a copy. Or you gave $125, my whole village, or my whole section of this village received a copy. And I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's do all we can together to not let anyone that has a good and fertile and honest heart miss heaven. Thank you, and God bless you.